The Center for Community and Economic Development at Michigan State University's podcast, Transforming Tomorrow Together, Today, creates informative episodes in collaboration with MSU faculty, students, community leaders, changemakers, and stakeholders that highlight innovative tools, models, policies, and professional insights to co-create sustainable prosperity and more equitable economies with communities. I'm your host, Mary Zimbrunnen, Assistant Director of the Center. And on today's episode, we are highlighting a recently developed toolkit for identifying reuse markets for recycled materials in Michigan, co-authored by my guest.
The views discussed during this podcast are those of the guests and do not represent the opinions of Michigan State University, the Center for Community and Economic Development, or any affiliated organizations.
Well, hello, Abby.
Hello.
I am so pleased to be able to introduce Abigail Kerrigan. She is a senior research assistant at the Center for Community and Economic Development here at Michigan State University and recently graduated. So, Abby, can you please tell us a little bit about yourself and why you chose to work here at the Center?
Yeah, so I started back in August of 2025. I recently graduated from Michigan State in December, where I studied social relations and policy through the James Madison program, along with some minors in sustainable agriculture and human geography and public health. So altogether, my academic interests have really always centered around ways to leverage policy and community development tools to design healthy and regenerative economic systems, whether it's through urban planning or state policy. And so really, that's why I came to work here at the Center, because there's such a focus on promoting regeneration and reducing waste and using resources sustainably on a community level that's really drawn me to do some work here.
Wow, that is a mouthful. You are the future. That's so impressive.
Thank you.
So now that you've graduated, you just graduated last semester, correct?
Yep.
What's next for you? I mean, I know you've also held down a part-time job in Livingston County, and currently you're looking at applying to grad schools, right?
Yes, that's right. So for the past 2 years or so, I've also been working with Livingston County, which has just been an amazing experience, which has also fed into why I started work on the circular economy research here. We've done a ton of amazing plans centered around sustainability and conservation and even circularity. And so I'm really hoping to carry that forward into my master's education. I'm planning on getting a master's in urban and environmental planning. I've gotten a few great offers so far, but I'm not sure 100% where I'm going to go. So it's a really exciting time.
Yes, it is. Life is full of transitions, and this is going to be a huge milestone for you.
So you've
mentioned a really critical word here, circularity. What is circularity?
Yeah, so right now, our economy operates on a very linear model, which just means that we take resources from the earth, extract them, then we make products, consume them, and then throw them away. So it's really built on this sequence of extraction, producing, and disposing. And so it's not working for a few reasons. You know, our landfills are filling up. We're throwing away the materials that we have at a really alarming rate. Those materials still have a lot of economic value. And so to remediate these problems, circularity or a circular economy instead asks the question of how do we design systems where materials never really become waste in the first place? So it really centers around treating materials not as disposable, but instead as valuable assets that should stay in use for as long as possible through processes like remanufacturing or repair or recycling, composting, et cetera.
So this is really about the difference between extractive practices and a linear model, the take-make-waste traditional way of production, producing goods and materials, and churning it out to a more regenerative circular practice that could even be from the very beginning, designing from inception for end user responsibility and so forth. Is that correct?
100%. Yeah, I kind of see it as redesigning the system so that environmental health and economic activity aren't in conflict, and so that it becomes an economically viable way to remain sustainable and reduce the need for these raw materials.
Can you talk a little bit further then, particularly focused on Livingston County, what type of circular activities were you either researching or focused on helping implement within that area?
Yeah, so we've been able to do some really cool things. The first project that I worked on was I was able to lead and author a sustainable agriculture, food system, and rural environments plan for the county, which is really just a pretty long resource and best practice guide for the townships and cities and villages within the county to identify ways to farmland or preserve farmland and also create a more regenerative food system. So a huge component of that was addressing food waste on a community scale. So there's a lot of circular strategies in there. Our master plan actually has a lot of conservation focus in it, drawing from those strategies within the sustainable agriculture plan. So that's another aspect of sustainability and regeneration that we're focusing on. But probably the biggest one right now is Livingston County is in the process of drafting their materials management plan. And so that whole thing centers on reducing landfill dependence, connecting end users with recyclable materials in the county, and just finding ways to reduce the amount of waste that we as a county put out.
That's incredible. So I know from working with you that so many of these activities that you've been focused on are transferable and help inform some of the work that we're doing here. So can you tell us a little bit about the projects at the center that you're also focused on related to circularity?
Yeah, it's been really funny actually because I didn't plan it this way, but my work at the county and my work here have been extremely reciprocally informative. And so I've taken what we learned at the county, and one issue that we really had there was we don't know who the end users for recycled materials are in the county. It's very hard to find them. And so with that, coming into the circular economy research team, we decided that it would be a good idea to come up with a toolkit to help communities and recyclers identify who those end users are, who those reuse markets are, and kind of create strategies to make it easier to find them and also bolster their ability to be a reuse market. And so making the overall recycling ecosystem more attractive for producers to use recycled materials.
Okay, so that was a mouthful. You're gonna have to tell us a little bit more here. So the toolkit is around identifying reuse markets for recycled materials in Michigan, correct? Okay,
Yes.
so what, to give us the background on that, what was the purpose of the toolkit and why was it produced?
So again, it really came from a call from community because also at the center, we've expanded on that issue that we identified in Livingston County, and we found that it's not just a Livingston County issue, it's an everywhere issue. It's that recyclers and communities don't know how to find end users for recycled material. A lot of information is proprietary, so it's not publicly shared. It's widely unknown who the real end users of recycled materials are. And so our goal here is to kind of outline, number one, the resources that are available to find those end users. So we've got some interactive mapping, we've got some materials marketplace resources, but we've also got strategies to identify how different stakeholders can take steps to find end users and then create better relationships with them and hopefully make it so that we can, instead of wasting valuable materials, recirculate them into the economy through these better relationships with end users.
Can you expand a little bit on that? What role do end markets play in recycling and the circular economy?
Yeah, so just like any, like the basic economy, the circular economy also has a supply and demand side to it. The supply side is obviously the recycled materials. It's the paper, metal, organics, plastic, all of that. But then there has to be a party who can take those materials and actually find value in them, and create the demand for them. And so without those reuse markets, what we call them, they're also known as end markets, which is why I use the term reuse markets and end users and end markets interchangeably, because the goal is that those materials never become waste, because instead they're an asset to be valued. So without those reuse markets, recycling doesn't actually close the loop. You know, we can collect them, we can sort materials, we can bale materials, but if there isn't a company willing and able to buy and use those recycled materials as feedstock, they become waste. So the toolkit is really focused on strengthening that demand side of the circular economy and just making sure that there are viable, visible, and connected businesses that can find value in recycled inputs.
Can you share a little bit more about some of the challenges that exist with connecting end markets to recycled material?
Yeah, so there's a lot. It's a very complex system. I would say that the first major challenge is visibility, because a primary barrier to finding those reuse markets is that there isn't a whole lot of transparency about who the end markets are, what materials they accept, or under what specifications they operate. And a lot of this information is proprietary, meaning that it's not publicly shared. So there's oftentimes a lot of uncertainty regarding communities collecting materials, but also not knowing if there's necessarily a stable buyer around to take those materials. Then I would say that the second challenge is viability, because with how the current economy is structured, it's cheaper for businesses to extract raw materials than it is for them to use recycled materials. There can be like high upfront costs associated with processing reused materials. A lot of companies are sometimes hesitant to use recycled inputs in their feedstocks because they might be contaminated or degraded. So there's concerns about reliability of recycled goods. And so as a result, when you combine the issues of not being able to find end markets and then also just it being so difficult to be a reuse market, we get this supply that way exceeds our demand. So we have a surplus of recyclable materials. So without those end markets, that's going to become waste. So finding ways to remediate, you know, making it more publicly visible to find these end markets, making it a lot easier to transport recycled goods to them is a huge step, but also making it so that those recycled goods are actually a usable input for them is another.
Can you share a little bit then about how the toolkit actually addresses these challenges? For example, if I work for a materials recycling facility within Michigan, what are the specific steps then that the toolkit helps lay out to solve some of these challenges?
Yeah, so there's kind of two main things. The first thing is we provide the resources that already exist that just identify these end markets. We use three publicly available resources that are most widely known to us. The first one is there's a map from Nextcycle's 2023 Circular Economy Gap Analysis, which shows a map of supposed end markets across the state. But one thing to note with this is that since a lot of information about end markets is proprietary, a lot of those mapped end markets or reuse markets aren't necessarily confirmed to be end markets, but just supposed based on the material inputs that they use. So that's a challenge with that. And then the second map that we have is the EPA Recycling Infrastructure and Market Opportunities Map, which is a count or not countywide, countrywide map that maps recycling locations, shows where materials are most heavily recycled. But what we use it for is that it shows potential end markets within our state. So similar to the Nextcycle map, it kind of means that those are supposed end markets, but it's kind of a way to identify, I guess, likely end markets without them being confirmed. And then our third resource is the Michigan Materials Marketplace, which is an online platform where businesses and people can list surplus materials and connect with buyers who are nearby. So think of it kind of like a Facebook marketplace, but for larger or industrial materials. And then beyond those resources, the toolkit instead lays out six main strategies that governments, producers, materials management facilities, and consumers can take to strengthen relationships with reuse markets in Michigan. And it's a broad brush, but these strategies include improving material quality, reducing contamination, making recycled material a more attractive input for producers, increasing data transparency, regional matchmaking events, using waste brokers. So it's a cross-sector approach to make sure that, you know, we can close this loop and reinforce those better connections.
Thank you. Who is the toolkit designed for then? If I we mentioned materials recycling facilities, the MRFers. So first, I'd ask you to explain who are the MRFs, and then in addition, who else might benefit from going through it and implementing step by step.
Yeah, so the MRFs, when we refer to recyclers, that's typically who we're talking about. Those are the organizations or the companies that take recycled goods from collection sites, and then they're the ones who process it, and they're the ones who are tasked with finding ways to reincorporate that into the community. So they have to find the buyers who will take that material and then inevitably reuse it. So they're the ones responsible for making sure that this material does not get wasted. And so I would say that this is likely going to be most useful for them because they're the ones who have the most direct relationships with those reuse markets because they're the ones going out there every day and trying to find buyers for their material. But specifically, I think anyone can use it. I think local governments play a really big role in this because they're the ones who can create local policy regarding, matchmaking, data disclosure, things like that. So they can really influence those relationships between the MRFs and the reuse markets. Producers obviously play a big role in this because whether they use recycled material or not, they'll benefit because they'll know that it's a viable option for them to use as an input in their production processes. And I would say that consumers will also benefit from the strategies that we put forth in this because environmentally and economically, there are a lot of long-term and large-scale costs associated with the linear economy that we currently have. And so by taking the steps to make our system more circular, there's like infinite social, economic, and environmental benefits to it as well.
Wrapping up and looking at the big picture in the long term, if the strategies listed in this toolkit are implemented, what might that look like for Michigan? Where do we go from here?
I think there's a lot more that needs to be done than just connecting recycled goods with end markets. And that's something that is currently happening now, and we recognize that. But there's a lot more steps to be taken in order to reach this ideal circular economy. We need to continue improving recycling infrastructure. We need to increase public participation. We need to be more proactive in designing products with reuse and material recovery in mind. But by strengthening these reuse markets, we are taking a critical step in keeping materials in use, supporting local businesses, protecting our landfills and our natural resources in Michigan in the long term. So there's a big responsibility on everyone involved. It takes everybody. It takes local governments and recycling facilities, producers, community organizations. But hopefully, by publicizing this toolkit, we can kind of help in taking some of those steps towards a circular economy.
You remind me of that saying, it takes a village, right?
It really
Yes.
does.
You've had a toe in municipal government, you've had a toe in academia. What is next in your journey as far as sustainability and circular economics goes, whether it be in Michigan or beyond?
I think it will always be a very large tenet of what I do, regardless of what I end up doing. I considered pursuing a PhD, so that's obviously there's a ton more research to be done regarding it, and I think I would love to research, how it can be implemented more on a community scale. But I mean, regeneration has always been in my mind, and so I plan on carrying that forward regardless, probably through policy.
Well, I know that I am definitely talking to the future here. This is so impressive, and I thank you for your work. I thank you for your research, and I thank you for your dedication. You truly make an impact. So, thank you for your time today, and we'll wrap up.
Yeah, thank you.
We also want to recognize Senior Research Assistant Henry Jared, who played a key role in shaping this toolkit. Henry helped draft many of the strategies and action steps you'll find throughout the document. This toolkit has been thoughtfully reviewed by members of the CCED's Circular Economy Faculty Network, along with several external experts who provided crucial feedback to strengthening the clarity and relevance of the strategies that we're sharing. We're excited to shortly begin distributing the toolkit through our community partners whose work centers on circularity in the coming weeks, And you can expect to see it published on the CCD website later this month at www.ced.msu.edu.
This has been Transforming Tomorrow Together Today, or T4, a podcast produced by the Center for Community and Economic Development at Michigan State University, where your host, Mary Zambrunnen, explores the people, ideas, and initiatives shaping stronger, more equitable communities within Michigan and beyond. In each episode, we'll dive into timely topics related to community and economic development, innovation, and service, and how these efforts contribute to positive change at the local and national level. The MSU Center for Community and Economic Development is excited to welcome a variety of guests, including students, professionals, community partners, thought leaders, change makers, and researchers who are working on projects that support communities in meaningful ways. Our guests will share insights from their experiences, discuss challenges and successes in their work, and reflect on how their efforts contribute to broader social and economic impact for the development of our shared great spaces in which we live, learn, work, and play.